Hi, this is Kevin Conroy, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
I want you to remember Tim Daly in all your years to come. In all your private moments, my hand at your throat. I want you to remember the one man who beat you.
Hello and welcome to GeekCast Radio's unofficial flagship podcast, Altered Geek Unlimited, episode 16. I am your host for this episode, Michael Powers, and joining me this week, as always, is Steve Megatron Phillips. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
I am good. This will probably be a shorter show. We're going to wing it like the old days. Excuse me. We are recording on a Monday night. Because the time that we would record on Thursday evening, I will be waiting in line at my local Best Buy with my wife so that we can pick up her PlayStation 4.
Nice.
And rather than, call you over Skype and do a on-site record while we're waiting in line, I thought this would be a little better for the listeners. If there are comments made on the forums and we don't reference them in this episode, that is why, because it is Monday evening. And in the spirit of winging it, and in the spirit of video games, and the PlayStation 4 launching this week, and the Xbox One launching next week, which you'll be able to hear more about on Off the Cuff, I thought Steve and I could talk about his gaming history. Just because of scheduling conflicts and stuff, we may never be able to get him on Off the Cuff.
So yeah, unfortunately not.
Steve, why don't you share with us a little bit about how you were introduced to gaming, and how it may or may not impact your life. I mean, I know recently, you buy a couple games a year, and you play the ever-loving shit out of them. Has it always been like that for you, or is this just as you've gotten older with more responsibilities?
I think it's more so older as I get more responsibilities, because back in the day, I mean, I've never been one to go out and buy 10 plus games a year.
Why? What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, it's I'm not made of money.
I do that.
I spend my money on a lot of other things as well, so that's why.
Right. No, I totally understand it. I was
digging
being funny
at me.
And it's not. No, I was being funny and it doesn't work.
But yeah, so I my gaming goes all the way back to MS-DOS.
Okay.
Which is, early 90s, for those that don't know.
Windows 3.1? Oh, no, DOS. DOS, sorry.
It's with in conjunction with Windows 3.1 or 3.11.
Right.
My very first recollection of playing a game was Monuments of Mars. A 79 kilobyte game.
I don't think I'm familiar with that.
You can still play it on DOS emulators. There's actually a DOS, MS-DOS retro site that you can download all the DOS games for free.
All right.
And play them on an emulator.
We should put a link to that in the show notes.
I should, as soon as I find it. Although I'm sure it'll be on there by the time this airs, so. But no, I played that game, and that was back in the day that you get hit, you die, you start the whole game over.
Right.
Which I did a good many times, and there's 20 levels, and mind you, it's shareware. So you get 20 levels in the shareware edition before you just spend like the $14 to get the full game.
Okay, so is that what... okay, so you've been primarily a PC guy.
Primarily, I think where I started kind of diving off of PC and more into consoles has been in this recent generation. I've had... my first gaming console was a Sega Genesis Mega Drive, where it has the adapter for the classic Sega.
Okay.
I actually inherited that from my aunt. So that was my first gaming console, but I had started playing like Nintendo and Super Nintendo with friends at their houses, and was always envious of people that had gaming consoles, because my dad was like, "No, you have a PC, it's better." And I was like, "But I can't play Mega Man or Mario or Aladdin."
Right. Well, I didn't want to like steer you down a path. I was actually more curious because I've never okay, this is gonna make me sound really bad because I don't know that much about like I know a lot of man, I can't talk. Okay, so the difference between like freeware and shareware. Like freeware is something that's absolutely free, and
yes.
Then shareware is something that's free up to a point.
Yeah, shareware lets you play so many levels or so much of a game before it goes to this magical screen and says, "Pay us money or you can't finish."
It seems like a lot of games have come back around to that.
Yeah, and I've noticed that not a lot of them, you know, this was back in the day where everything was on a floppy and everything like that, but, you know, with DLC, you know, downloading it directly from the markets now, that makes more sense, obviously, but... I find that it's very enticing to get somebody to want to play a game if they don't have to go spend money to go rent it, and they can play part of it, get addicted to it, and then kind of have to go out and buy it.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what the like the free to play model is kind of right now, where it's, you know, you get the game for free and you can play it. But if you spend a little more, you'll get a little more experience, you'll level up a little faster, you'll get to the better stuff a little sooner. I feel like that's the same kind of... It's the same idea, I think. Like, people get a chance to get the hooks in them. And then you get to pay what you think the game is worth, essentially.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't myself have a problem with that because... I mean, for instance... DC Universe Online went free to play.
Right.
I think it was like 2 years ago. Same thing with Star Trek Online, which that game's atrocious. I tried playing it and I was like, I'm done. But DC Universe Online, I think I played that for a good 6-8 months once it was free. I didn't pay for any of the expansions. I didn't pay to upgrade or anything, even though there were people mopping the floor with us in the PvP part of the game. But I mean, I played it for the enjoyment of playing the game. I didn't necessarily care about the rest of it.
Right. So, all right. So you went from, you know, you had a PC and then you inherited a Genesis.
And I've played, I've bought, my first console I ever bought was the Nintendo GameCube.
Now, if I remember correctly, didn't we talk about this? Wasn't that, like, under the guise of a... Like, a... Wasn't that back when we talked about tricking the family into buying something?
Yes.
Okay.
That was my very first console, and I... The only things I still have from that console is I still have my Super Smash Brothers Melee and my original controllers.
Okay.
For the console, the rest of it I traded in eventually. I did end up buying a used Super Nintendo at one point. I did end up buying a used PlayStation 2 which I chose that over the Xbox Classic because I, one, hated the controller for the Xbox Classic and didn't like the games for it at all. but then I traded in all that stuff so that I could buy a bunch of games and have store credit, and I ended up with a Nintendo Wii for Christmas 1 year. I think it was after a year after it came out or something like that. And I re-downloaded a lot of the games I had for the Super Nintendo and the Sega Genesis, and kept a few GameCube games. And so I still use that from time to time when I want to play Smash Brothers, but that's about all I use that stupid thing for. or my games I've downloaded off their virtual console. But I ended up getting the Xbox 360, the Black Edition, where it comes with the Kinect, because my wife wanted the Kinect to use, and it unfortunately comes with a 4-gig hard drive, which if you plug in a flash drive or an external hard drive to it, it's the same as having a hard drive plugged into it. So I've done that with it to expand the memory, and I bought it around the time Arkham City came out.
So, now you played. So, what do you like gaming on better? I mean, I know we've talked about, you talked about this briefly too, just recently, about because we brought up Diablo 3, being on consoles now, and how good it feels with the controller. Did you play Arkham Origins on the PC?
No, I played Arkham Asylum on the PC.
I'm sorry, Arkham Asylum. Ugh, wow.
Yeah, that was my first kind of jump into the next gen kind of games. I was able to play the game, but it was ungodly difficult because the way, I mean, I'm not one that likes to switch the keys or the placements to some, I mean, I did to some degree so that I could actually use it, but at that time, because I had Windows XP, it was super sensitive to the Windows button or the Alt key. So okay. Anytime I slightly bumped those, it would kick back into Windows.
Ooh.
Now that I have Windows 7, I don't have that issue. But it was a pain to play that game. My hands hurt so bad that I swore I'd never use the PC again for a fighting game like that. Now, things like Red Alert, you know, Command & Conquer, Diablo, I like playing them on the PC. But, again, there's advantages to each one. If I had to choose consoles, my two favorites that I like are the GameCube controller and the Xbox 360 controller.
Okay. Yeah, I like the I do like the 360 controller as well. I actually one of the things I was able to do. I'm not sure if I mentioned it on the last episode of Altered Geek, because I know that I found one right before we recorded Altered Geek. Best Buy, the local Best Buy has had the PlayStation 4 controllers on sale.
Oh, nice.
So you can actually go buy one, and of course you can use it. You can actually use it for PC games and stuff like that. And it actually works on the PlayStation 3. But last Thursday I was kind of hemming and hawing, and I was like, I don't know if I... I'm getting a PlayStation 4 on Friday, and my wife is getting a PlayStation 4 on Friday. So we're going to have two controllers in the house and stuff like that, but I was kind of thinking, you know, maybe it'd be nice to have, like, one more controller in the house just in case, like, you know, you've got people over or something like that. So I was, you know, kind of trying to justify the purchase of buying a controller ahead of a console launch. And I went back last Friday, and I was like, you know, maybe I will just grab it. And then I was like, you know what, I will, because it works on the PS3, but I will grab it if it works with Arkham Origins. So I looked it up real quick, and of course it does. So I went and bought it. So I've been using the for like the last 4 days, I've been playing around with the PlayStation 4 controller. A lot of the advanced features for the controller, like the touchpad on it, like none of that works. But the way that it feels in your hand feels like way better than the DualShock 3 or like the PlayStation 3 controller. It's not, it's not as light as a PlayStation 3 controller, but it's not as heavy as a 360 controller. But I think they made a big step forward in that. But of course, I will also talk more in depth about this on this Wednesday's Off the Cuff. But controllers have always been a big thing for me. I've always enjoyed, I enjoyed Nintendo's controllers right up until the GameCube. I never really enjoyed the GameCube controller. I was a big fan of the Super Nintendo and the N64 controller. After that, they kind of, they didn't feel right. I wish the GameCube controller had been the N64 controller without the part that was never used, which was basically the D-pad. I don't know if you've ever used a N64 controller.
I've played them at friends' houses, so.
Yeah, I wish that had been the controller where, you know, you've got the trigger and then the shoulder button, and I don't know. But I do enjoy the 360 controller. I will admit, you know, that it is a very good controller. But Sony's made some big steps forward with the DualShock 4 controller. So, now, like, you mentioned a couple strategy games. Did you ever play games like the Sim games, like Sim City, Sim Tower, Sim Ant, The Sims?
The last time I played a Sim game, it was Sim City 2000.
That was a good one. That was one of the better ones.
And I enjoyed it. But I haven't gone back and played one since.
One of my favorite Sim games is actually Sim Tower. I don't know. I'm almost done with Arkham Origins. I think when we finish this record, I might be able to finish it tonight.
Oh, that'll be cool.
I'm still enjoying the game. I find that the dynamic that they're showing off between Alfred and Batman is a lot better than I've seen. Is a lot better than I've seen in anything for the most part. I've never seen, not that I can remember, I've never seen a Batman like this. Mainly because I've never seen a young Batman, because our Origins is set 2 years after, you know, he became Batman. So he's not exactly the steely, hardened guy. Like, he actually gets angry. And I don't know that I've seen Batman portrayed in a medium as angry. I mean, probably in the comics for sure, because the comics have been around forever. But I don't really... I remember him being mean or nasty or something in like Justice League or Justice League Unlimited or even like the animated series, but I don't ever remember him being like visually angry to the point where he's yelling and talking down to Alfred.
Yeah, the only time I've actually seen him do that is in the recent Zero Year comic.
Okay.
Where he's basically telling Alfred to kiss his ass.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happens here, too. But like I said, I'd never seen that before, like, that side of him. Because you always see Batman as, like, the calm, cool, collected guy under pressure. Never the guy that doubts his mission or that... I don't know. It's been interesting to see it. I don't remember anything like that. There's nothing really that stands out like that from even Asylum, which I love. I don't remember anything particular from that one that stands out, but I don't even remember City or Asylum like showing you the sides of Batman that are in this, that are in Origins. So that's been kind of neat to see. And there's a couple of cool things with the Joker too that I don't want to spoil because you'll end up playing it. But I will say this: I found out, I don't know if I mentioned this on the last one, but I know I talked about at length about the voice acting in the game. I found out that it was a guy named Troy Baker, who's doing the voice of the Joker. And yep. He is really good. And I'm not just saying that because he's really good as the voice of the Joker, but he was also Joel in The Last of Us, and he's voicing a character in the upcoming Infamous game, Infamous Second Son. And he never sounds the same. Like, most voice actors, you can kind of, like, take...
There's that tinge of their voice in there.
Yeah, take, for example, the most used voice actor of the last generation, which is Nolan North. He was Drake in the Uncharted series. He was Desmond in the Assassin's Creed series. He's done a handful of, like, background voices for different franchises. But you always know it's Nolan North. But Troy Baker, I never know when it's him. Because I don't think I've actually, like, I don't think I've actually heard him before. Because he's played, you know, he's playing the Joker, right? And he just did the Joker, and that's like a, like, almost the spitting image of Mark Hamill's Joker. And then you've got Joel from The Last of Us, who's like a 40 to 50 year old guy in a post-apocalyptic world where he's kind of been beaten down by life, and it just doesn't sound like the same guy. So that's been kind of cool. I think he's like one of my new favorites. I don't know if he's done anything else outside of games. I'm pretty sure he has, but I haven't actually gotten to look into anything, but that's pretty much all I've got to say about Origins at the moment. So
I know I'm pretty geeked for it. I'm just waiting for that magical Black Friday sale so I can go down the road and buy it.
I'm so ready for Black Friday.
I'm ready for it too, only because I really want to go get that game.
All right, anything you want to talk about?
As far as games or
anything. We can switch topics.
Okay. Well, it's been fun watching all the rumor mill on the DC stuff. I'm not going to go into detail about it, but because now they're claiming, oh, there's going to be the Flash. Oh, there's going to be Nightwing. Oh, there's going to be...
Yeah, I think eventually you'll get that stuff. I don't think Batman versus Superman is going to be that loaded.
I hope not.
There's a tipping point for that kind of stuff. I don't know. I can't see it being that loaded. I think what's happening is there's rumblings of casting for individual movies and people are just lumping it all together.
Yeah, it would make sense that they would be trying to scope out for future films, but I honestly don't see them introducing anybody else in this.
No, and neither do I. Like, I just think people are trying too hard to connect the dots and they're breaking their crayons.
So. That's funny.
I did notice that a couple people were interested in the app that I was talking about at the beginning of the last episode, which means people actually listened through the whole thing. Amazing. Just in case anyone hasn't commented that actually was interested, it's called Automatic. I believe the website is automatic.com. I can give a link to Steve so he can put it in the show notes. But SuperFilmFan98 on the thread did say, you know, thanks for the heads up on that. That he's had to check engine light on forever. I don't have to spend $1 trillion just to get it checked. That's one of the reasons why I was interested in it, was the check engine light on my car, like I said. And it's been great because, like I said, it diagnosed my car right off the bat as a, you know, check engine light. Your catalytic converter is going bad on the car. So I clear the code and I'm able to use my remote start, as I said last week. And then eventually it comes back on and I just clear it again. So, but I don't know. I just want all these superhero movies to stop.
I do too. I mean, I know that we covered a lot, but that's kind of all over the place. But I like them. I think that they're getting too flooded too fast, and I think that people are just done with them. Like, they're grasping at, like, the new DC show that's going to be coming is, I don't remember what station, but it's going to be called Our Man.
I thought that was CW again.
I think it. I was almost sure it was, but I. It's like they're grasping at straws here. Like, I've never heard of that character.
No. I mean, I've never heard of it either. So,
like, it's like, why? It's like, if you're gonna go to that length, why don't you just create like a, you know, the Wonder Woman show, or do, you know, just all these other characters that they're wanting to introduce anyhow?
Right.
Why don't they just put them on the CW and just be done with it, rather than grasping at these characters nobody knows? Like, Marvel, I have a feeling, is going to end up doing some of that, too. Just because they're like, oh, we have to get on the superhero bandwagon. You know, just like everybody else. And
no, yeah, I think Marvel knows they're ahead of the curve and everyone's chasing them. Like, if I had to use a... Well, no, I don't want to start a flame war. But no, I think Marvel's ahead of the curve, and they're, you know, people are chasing them. So I don't see them playing down to.
Well, the only one I was getting at is that Agent Carter or whatever from Captain America.
But is she getting her TV show, or is she getting a or just a one like another one shot?
I thought she was getting a TV show.
Well, there's so many one-shots out there. I can't even remember what all the one-shots are on. Like, I know there's the Peggy Carter one-shot, but I don't even know what movie that was, like, what Blu-ray that was on.
Iron Man 3.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
And then there was another one-shot that has Lizzie Kaplan in it. And it's like they find a gun, like a Chitauri gun in New York. I want to say that was on the Avengers, but I don't think it was.
I don't think it was either.
Yeah, I wish I could. I don't know, but yeah, we should look into that. But yeah, I don't know, man. I just feel like that's all there is.
Yeah, it's getting too flooded. Like, where's the Star Trek show? Where's the, you know, where's some stuff coming back from the dead rather than bringing on all these superheroes? Can't we have intelligent television again?
Yeah, but do you want to see new stuff? Because you said bringing stuff back from the dead. Do you want to see new stuff, or do you want to see reboots of stuff?
Well, not necessarily reboots. They can do Star Trek and just go another generation in the future rather than trying to pick up from the Abrams verse.
Okay, well, there's that. I mean, I guess...
Shows like that, there's room to wiggle, but, like, I don't want to see them redo. Like, I've heard rumors they're redoing Stargate. I've heard, you know, rumors that, like, half the movies, they're just redoing stuff from the 80s. It's not needed. Like, I think they're redoing Gremlins.
I've heard that somewhere, too.
I think it's actually, it's canon now. They're actually working on it. I read unfortunately didn't save it. It was, I found it on Twitter somewhere. It was like on Screen Rant or one of those sites. I was reading something about like a new Addams Family, a new Gremlins, stuff like that.
Well, I guess I've said before, I don't have any geek nostalgia, so, and a lot of the times when this stuff happens, you end up getting, like, a special edition or you know, they restore like the original version and put that out for people. So it ends up benefiting like a new generation of people will be introduced to the old stuff, and the old stuff will be restored so that the people that love that stuff will have a new way to experience it. I just think that kind of just goes hand in hand. I don't really have a problem with stuff being remade and all that stuff. Because sometimes it's like, sometimes, especially when you watch some of the old stuff, special effects don't hold up. And it's like, oh man, I wonder what they could do if they made that now. Unfortunately, some things have had that treatment. Like Star Wars, like, you know, you've got the original trilogy, which was the best at what could be done at the time, and then you've got the prequel trilogy, which was spare at no expense to put Star Wars back on the screen the way it was quote unquote meant to be, and it just doesn't work. But
I don't know. Did you see the recent news of Zack Snyder showing Kevin Smith the new bat suit with Affleck in it?
No, I have not seen that.
There's no actual video or photo for the general public to see, but it says that Kevin Smith moderated a chat with Zack Snyder over the weekend to promote the Blu-ray release of The Man of Steel. There was a fan Q&A where Snyder dropped a small reference to Lex Luthor to suggest that he'll be in it, which I would kind of expect that being a Superman movie.
Right.
But then he said that he's seen the new, Kevin Smith seen the new Batsuit, he said that it promises to represent a new direction for the Batman on film. Which I hope is meaning that they're taking hints from something else, like a gray suit and, you know, black cowl and...
Yeah, we brought that
up. The coloration, you know, the kind of thing that we brought up before, the new age coloration of things, whether it be Arkham or the new 52, but...
Right.
Not making it, like, padded body armor.
Well, at this point, I'd rather it be, like, the new 52 then, because Arkham is more... Nolan armor. Batman than anything.
Yeah.
Especially Origins. Origin takes a lot of cues from the Nolan verse. The cowl.
I've noticed that with the style of it, whereas like in Arkham Asylum and City, the ears on it are a lot longer and there's a lot of other cues to it, whereas the Origins one has a lot of more separated body pads.
He does look like he's wearing hockey pants. I don't know if I brought that up last time.
I think I heard you guys say that on...
We did.
Off the cuff.
That's one of the first things I saw. When you first see that character model, I was like, holy crap, he's wearing hockey pants. So, but eventually you stop seeing it. So it goes away. All right. I'm running out of stuff to talk about. it's kind of hard to talk about stuff when only 4 days have passed since the last episode, and two of those were the weekend when nothing happens.
Yeah, that's kind of true. I guess, you know.
Well,
maybe we can talk about, albeit briefly, the question we asked the listeners last week.
Sure.
Which was, if you had the option of writing a new TV show, either original or based on something, what would it be and how would you go about it?
Oh, man. You want to go first?
Do you have anything?
I'm trying to think of one. I would, Huh. I would... Well, okay, it has to be a TV show.
Well, I mean, we can open it up to any or kind anything. Of property.
You know what? I'm gonna run with this because for some reason it's been popping back up in my subconscious and in my daily life. For some reason, I'm not entirely sure why. But when I was in middle school / high school, I came up with a group of superheroes based off of myself and my friends. And it was called the group was called the Crazy Eights. I still have the original like notebook that I wrote like short stories in about them. And I remember doing like mini comic books and stuff like that. And my cousin just recently found like an art binder that he had from high school that had like the Crazy Eight logo on it.
Nice.
And I was just recently over at my friend Joe Reed's house, and I saw a drawing that was hanging on his wall that someone had made for him. And it was of a guy in like some power armor. And what was really interesting is that power armor looked a lot like the power armor I had designed in my head for my characters to wear, in any given situation. And it's just weird how this stuff kind of just like it just started bubbling up again. I think it'd be kind of neat to try and revive that series. I mean, I never did anything with it. It was a high school like side project kind of thing, just something dorky to do, like fan fiction or whatever. But I think it'd be, if I was going to do something original, I think it would be like just try and a take on that. Or maybe a live action version of the Lunchrooms, a theater near you. Which, for anyone that doesn't know, was a comic strip that ran on the lunchroom.net, which is now defunct. I think we only did like somewhere between 6 and 10 strips. But it was all based on stuff that happens in a movie theater. And the hijinks that ensue while working at a movie theater. So, but either of those would be fun for me to either write or try and do. I'm one of the guys, I love to write, and I like to come up with ideas. I just fail at execution. Like I like to think of things to do and then have other people do them.
Yeah, it depends for me. I like a little bit of, like, I like to write some stuff, but I also like to be able to come up with ideas and not have to do the work.
Right.
So I can definitely get that. My show thing that I would do, because I like Batman so much. I know I keep going back to that, but again,
it's your show, so
yes. But I personally would. I would like to bring Batman back to TV, and basically how I would kind of go about it is,
you'd remake the Adam West Batman, wouldn't you?
Well, I would give it more of a gritty feel to it. I mean, I would start out maybe kind of with a little bit, you know, younger Batman, like starting out kind of 2 years in, you know, kind of doing the almost flashbacky kind of thing of how Arrow's kind of doing to some extent, right. But not too much like how it's doing it. Like they kind of go overkill on it, like a lot. But I would use some of that, but instead of having all these random goofy characters popping up that are there for humor purposes, I'd have them actually be a threat and start out with the Dick Grayson Robin, but have them not look like a guy wearing pantyhose. From the 60s.
Right.
But and then eventually have them all evolve into the, you know, more wiser Bruce Wayne Batman and Nightwing, but not introduce the other Robins.
Why do you think Batman's not on TV as a live-action character?
I think it has a lot to do with WB. I think Warner Brothers does not want them on TV anymore.
But, like, but why do you think that is? Because, like, even, like, so many... You've got, like, Tomorrow People. That's pretty dark and somewhat gritty, and it's actually also a really good show. We've had stuff like Alphas. We've had stuff like Heroes, which, you know, when it was good, it was really good. And anytime Zachary Quinto was on screen, it was excellent. And we've got stuff like Arrow, which is, for all intents and purposes, he's just missing a cape and a cowl because that's freaking Batman.
Yeah, pretty much, considering they revealed the League of Assassins and Ra's al Ghul.
So it's basically, it's all a bunch of beating around the bush as to, you know, Batman on the small screen. It's just weird to me that he is not on the small screen. It seems like he would be perfect for a serialized 45-minute show. You know, it's... I don't understand. I mean, maybe it's because he's like a... I mean, there hasn't been a live-action Batman since the movie started. Well, been before that. So it's kind of like... And we talked last week about, you know, you don't want to dilute the... You know, you don't want to have two different people playing Batman at the same time. And we talked about... Cause we brought that up with... we don't want two different people playing The Flash at the same time. I'm sure it'd be even more confusing to have two Batmans out there.
Batman. Yeah.
Cause you know, you'd never get Ben Affleck to play him on the small screen. So I understand like some brand confusion. It's the same reason you'll never see like a Thor TV show or a Captain America TV show. But it just seems odd to me that that he's just completely absent.
I mean, I honestly hate that it's completely absent. I really do. It's something about it just bothers me. I wish that they would just bring him back.
Or at least, like, take a stab at Batman Beyond. On the small screen.
Well, and that's the thing. Before the Nolan films, they were going to do a Batman Beyond. And so, I mean, I think that would be kind of a perfect place to tread at this point in time.
Yeah, because even if you just have an older Bruce Wayne, it's still just Bruce Wayne. It's not another Batman. Your other Batman is actually just, you know, it's not Bruce Wayne. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
So I think that might be a little more... understandable for the TV audience. Plus you can go with, you know, you've got the sci-fi element that can play into it, and I don't know, it just seems so weird that, you know, he's not on TV, especially after we got 10 seasons of Superman on TV.
Just to not have him put on the cape.
Such a... Ugh, whatever.
What a cop-out.
Let's reuse footage from Superman Returns. Screw you.
It's like, just put him in the damn cape.
What's he been doing lately? Oh, that's right. Nothing.
Yeah, that's right. He hasn't done anything.
So,
but yeah, I just wish that they would bring it back. I think a lot of it has to do with WB and the fact that he's in the films.
Yeah.
Because I
get it. I'm just saying, it's weird.
It's like they got a bat embargo. They're like, no, we can't touch but the Batman at all.
Alright.
But that's a show I would bring back. Yeah, I think that...
yeah, because we talked about Origins.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it goes in terms of quality, it really goes... I think... It goes because you know the other side of that, it was, what do you think of the Arkham trilogy so far? I think in terms of my favorites, it goes Arkham Asylum, and then Arkham Blackgate and Arkham Origins are like tied for second, and then you know a distant third would be Arkham City. So, because the Vita version is Arkham Asylum distilled down to its purest form, and that's awesome to me. So,
being that I haven't played Arkham Origins yet, my current favorite's Arkham City.
I think you'll like Origins. If you don't like Origins, I think I'll be very surprised. I will not be surprised at all if you like it. I will be very surprised if you do not. So, just because I know that you're a Joker fan and I know that you're a Batman fan, and I don't see how you couldn't like this game, especially since it does such a good, like, Joker is handled really well. I think he's creepier in this game than he was in Asylum or City. Mainly because he's younger and just completely out of his mind.
Nice.
And you know, it does a real, like I've said before, I said last week, I said this week, and I said it off the cuff, and I'm sure I'll say it again. I really think it does a really good job of making you feel like Batman. So the only thing that really holds the game back to me, and you don't realize this all that often, is that the game takes place over the course of one night.
Well, it's kind of like Arkham City.
Well, right, but what I'm saying is, whereas Arkham City actually felt like it took place over one night, because of like the pacing of that game, for some reason it we talked about it off the cuff, it does feel like it takes place in the course of one night. It does feel like rushed to a certain extent, as far as the pacing goes. But Arkham Origins, it really feels like, it doesn't feel like it's one night. It is one night, but it doesn't feel like it's one night. It feels like it's like multiple nights that you're just going out on patrol, and you're in Gotham City. Plus they reuse some art assets from City, so you get to you can see what things looked like before they were turned into a prison. Which is kind of neat. So, that's about all I've got. So, like we said, shorter show this week. We'll have a regular show for you. Episode 17 will be a regular show, and that will come out on November 22nd.
Yes.
So, Steve, how can they get in touch with us?
Well, as for questions, I think I'm, one, we'll leave it a little open, but two, my question before we get into that is, what are your tech woes that you've had to deal with, like whether it be, for instance, kind of, it can even be things as problematic as the red ring of death or the blue screen of death. Hardware failure where you lose your save games or where you lose whatever you're working on your computer or stuff like that. Or whether it be a crazy virus that you can't get rid of. Only reason I say that is I'm dealing with a machine that's plugged in next to my tower right now that I've had to flip-flop between keyboard and mouse.
Huh.
So.
All right.
By the time this airs, it'll be fixed, so. But, alright, ways to contact. You can call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. You can email us, feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can visit the episode post at geekcastradio.com and leave your feedback there. You can join the Facebook fan page by searching Geekcast Radio Network. You can follow us on Twitter @GeekcastRadio #AlteredGeek. My Twitter handle is at SCP21, and yours is?
Mine is at BoothNinja81.
So, as always, get altered, get geeky, with the Altered Geeks. See you next time.
Bye.
Sam out of it. This is between you and me.
We don't have to do this.
Sure we do.
I am Kal-El, son of Jor-El, born on the planet Krypton, raised here on Earth by Jonathan and Martha Kent.
I am vengeance. I am the night. I am Batman!
You're just a man with no superpowers.
You're right. I'm just a mortal with only his wits. I want you to remember Tim Daly in all your years to come. In all your private moments, my hand at your throat. I want you to remember the one man who beat you.
Enough! What are you doing?
You're the hero that Gotham deserves, but you're not the one it needs right now.
What does that even mean?
It means we'll hunt you. Because you can take it. Because you're not our hero. You're a silent guardian. A watchful protector. A dark light.
Night? It's dark night.
Whatever. And you. You can give the people an ideal to strive towards. They will race behind you. They will stumble. They will fall. But they can be a great people, Dad. They wish to be. They only lack the light to show the way.
Why should we listen to you? You're just a child.
But what if a child dreamed of being something other than what society had intended? What if a child aspired to something greater? What if a child was a little less douche?
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.